everyone, Jared here, and I'm actually going to do my top 10 games of 2022. Love the fake background. I wish I was on a beach right now, but alas, I am not. I don't have the means right now of recording actual gameplay, so I thought I would just look at you guys and we'll have a little discussion. You'll see me looking to the side a little bit, and that's only because that's where I got my list. So this year was a lot like last year in that I had a little bit more time. I was super, super busy, but I had a little bit more time to game, just a bit. And so I played 18 titles this year. Huzzah! That's awesome. Oh, and you also might be wondering where Steven is. Well, Steven played like 3 games this year. So, and like our schedules just haven't been matching up in order to do a podcast or anything. So I thought I wanted to make sure I at least did this because we have done this since 2013. Crazy, man. Crazy. We already know Steven's game of the year. It's going to be Pokemon Violet and Scarlet. But here are my various games here. So Steven always loves when I talk about games that were released, you know, like 5 or 6 years ago, stuff like that. You know, they're awesome. So I have a bunch of different honorable mentions, and these are basically just the games that I played. I played all games that I thought were, you know, interesting to me. So obviously every single one of these 18 games have made the list. The honorable mentions, I just want to just quickly go through. I enjoyed The Gunk on the Xbox Series X. That was a fun game. That was actually released late last year in 2021. Just an honorable mention. It was a really fun game. I played Ghost of Tsushima. That was brilliant. Had I played that last year, that would have been my number one game of the year. I played it earlier, I think in like January or so, I played it and I adored it. I cannot believe I missed that on the PS4. Can't believe it. That to me is The Last of Us from the PS3 generation. Just like hands down the game of the generation for me, just for me personally. Also had the opportunity to go back and play God of War on the PS4. That too, phenomenal, phenomenal game. Played Uncharted, Legacy of Thieves collection on the PS5. Had a really good time with that. As Dusk Falls on the Xbox Series X, really enjoyed that one. Also enjoyed the indie game Bright Memory Infinite Platinum Edition on the Xbox. That too was really, really good. And yeah, so these were all games that I played. They're not really honorable mentions. They're just more games that I happen to like go through. I have one real honorable mention. And actually, no, sorry. I'm looking at the list here. I actually have two. So Lego Star Wars, the Skywalker Saga, played through that, had a really good time. Loved the humor of it. Actually platinum the game on the PS5, was really, really, really enjoyable. Really enjoyed that one. But it was an honorable mention. The other one was Pokemon Legends Arceus, as I call it, Arceus, whatever. This is one where this was like the beginnings of the whole like technology sort of woes with Pokemon. Really liked what they did with this game in a lot of different ways, but also didn't like a lot of different things, not just the technology wide stuff, but more like a lot of the gameplay sort of mechanics, the repetition on the gameplay mechanics, for whatever reason, I didn't enjoy as much as everyone else. Everyone else seemed to like adore that particular game. For me, I thought it was good, but it wasn't like your mainstream Pokemon game. So, all right. So here we go. So now, number 10. My number 10 is Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Shredder's Revenge. Phenomenal game. That, considering I know Steven only played like a handful of games, I know that this would have definitely been up there for him. I really enjoyed this. I had a really, really good time. As I actually own both of the arcade games that were released for Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. I have the PCBs and I love them. I use them with my super gun every chance I get, which unfortunately is not that much these days, but it really did feel straight up like one of the old beat 'em ups. It was great. I loved it. Absolutely loved it. It's available on like every platform under the sun, and definitely recommend checking that out. I played it on the Switch, if that means anything. Number 9 is Live Alive. So this was actually a Super Famicom RPG that escaped me back in my import days for whatever reason. Really good one. It's a really, really, really good one. The remake was released on the Nintendo Switch from Square Enix. Went through, did everything you could do in the game, unlocked all the goodies. Really enjoyed this one. If you like old school RPGs, this is definitely one to give a look to. It's very similar to not very similar, but it's an HD 2D. I think that's what they call it. That sort of like subgenre that started with Octopath Traveler and then also was featured in Triangle Strategy. This is the third game, and the fourth game is supposed to be, well, now I'm assuming the fourth game is going to be Octopath Traveler 2, but there was also, there's also Dragon Quest 3, the remake of Dragon Quest 3. That's one I'm really looking forward to. It's going to be sick. Okay, so that was number 9. Number 8 is Triangle Strategy. Steven bought me this, I believe it was for my birthday, and I adored it. I played through it all, did all the, everything you can do in the game, I pretty much did. Very good if you like Final Fantasy Tactics and those types of subgenre RPG, tactical RPGs. Definitely one to check out. Really, really had a good time with that. And thanks again, Steven, for that. That was a really good one. Number 7. Number 7 was one I got on sale. I think it bombed, which is Ghostwire Tokyo. I got it for so cheap. I want to say like 15, 30 bucks, somewhere around there. Awesome. I loved the Tokyo that was created in that game. Just loved it. And I think I did. I got the platinum in that game. I put in a lot of hours. I'll tell you that. I put in a lot of hours into that game, collecting all the little, the origamis that they had and all, just, it was crazy. But I absolutely loved just the sort of the atmosphere of Tokyo that they had created. I thought was so brilliant. But more so than that was also the gameplay. I really had a good time with this one. I really, really did. I know some people thought it was it was okay. Was done by the creator of Resident Evil, and he still got it because it's really, really good. Number 6 is a game that scored way higher than I thought it would, which is Stray. It's the one where you play as a cat in like this robot post-apocalyptic world or whatever. Again, you'll notice a recurring theme sort of all the way back into Ghost of Tsushima that I had mentioned. Ghost of Tsushima was really the atmosphere that did it, sort of like The Last of Us, sort of like Uncharted, like all these types of games. I love when a game has a really good atmosphere, really good feeling to it. So with something like Uncharted, it's like that Indiana Jones vibe, and I love that. With something like The Last of Us, it's like going straight in on like the fall of society and like this virus out there and all of this sort of stuff. With Stray, it's really cool to see like these robots sort of acting like humans. Everything's sort of rusted and grimy, and they're doing their best to sort of like keep the world afloat. And it's just really cool to actually play as a cat. It's kind of cool. And I it's a very quick little game, nothing, extravagant, but I really had a good time with it. I really, really did. Loved it, actually. Number 5, Dragon Quest X Offline. You may have thought that this would actually be a little bit higher. And the reason it's not is because Dragon Quest X Offline is not Dragon Quest X Online. So the outside map is, shrunk down significantly. You get the same story beats and everything like that, but the gameplay loop is very, very repetitive when you take an online game offline. Because really, at the end of the day, you get little micro vignettes of stories, and then you're off to quickly go and fight a boss. And then it just loops over and over and over and over again. You don't notice that when you're online as much. Because when you're online, you got these huge, vast areas that you can explore. Takes forever just in villages to like go from one end of a village to another. Whereas here, everything was reduced in scale. And I found the game suffered a bit from that. Now, it is number five. And the reason it's number five is because it's still a really good game. It's still a really, really good story. I did everything you can do with it. I unlocked all the best gear. I went totally bonkers, did every single quest. Pulled the Jared. And I regret nothing. It was really, really good. I really, really enjoyed it. Number four was Pokemon Violet and Scarlet. Yes, only number four. And the reason for this is I love the open world. Okay. Love it. I'm actually going to go back to complete the Pokedex. I just haven't had a chance because it was a couple other games I wanted to make sure I played so that they could be on this particular list if they were deserving. And I played through the game, beat the game, really enjoyed it, and I think it is a phenomenal Pokemon game, but I experienced so many bugs, so many glitches, so many, like, it left a bad taste in my mouth of, like, this isn't good enough, you know? Like, a number of years ago, I never even played Pokemon, right? Like, I wasn't even part of that world. But when Steven got me into Pokemon, I really went deep into it, and I've played now quite a few generations, one after another, since Sun and Moon, I think Sun and Moon was like the current generation that I played. So I played Sun and Moon, Sword and Shield, and now Violet and Scarlet. And I was so disappointed by the way the game ran. And it was, as I've been saying this whole time about like atmosphere and pulling me in and everything like that, it pulled me out because of that. Now, thankfully, there's been some updates and stuff like that. I have gone back and traded a bit with Steven to make sure I got like the exclusive Pokemon from Violet. I will go back and play Violet, but it's just for right now. I wanted to experience the game, and I wanted to make sure I had time to experience some of the others. And number three is one of those other games, which is Dragon Quest Treasures. Man, I did not expect to enjoy this as much as I did. The gameplay loop is incredibly simple. Okay. Like, we're talking nuts simple here. All you basically do is, I think there's like five islands, maybe six. I think it's five. That you go to, and as you walk around, you're surrounded by monsters. You can bring three in your party, and you as well, and you can fight all at the same time and stuff like that. And you'll get like little notifications saying that there's a treasure around, and you just go and you randomly pick up a treasure, and it's totally, totally random. But I don't know what it is, and that's it. And you basically bring that back to your base, and you get it appraised, and away you go. You don't control your monsters, so they'll automatically fight. You have coins that you can attach to, the monsters in order to sort of dictate like different like strengths, attributes, things like that. But you don't really control the monsters. They'll just go out and fight. You can say like, go get them or come back here. That's pretty much the extent of it. And I am going to do a review on this. I'd like to review pretty much all the, Nintendo Switch games that I play, especially like Dragon Quest related ones. So this was a really interesting one because it just caught me off guard, because it's like sort of like a love letter to Dragon Quest fans. And it's cool to see like all these different little trinkets and enemies and stuff all represented as little treasures. And I think it goes up to rank 20. Yeah, I think it's rank 20 it goes up to for your base. And I'm at rank 18 right now. So I'm almost there. Almost at max level as well. I think I'm currently at like 79, 80, something like that. Like I think I'm a high 70s. So it shouldn't be too much longer to get to 99. And then once you're 99, that's where you can start farming some of those coins to get at the highest rarity. But I don't think I'm going to spend too much more time with that. It was more just I wanted to get to the maximum level and get like the different monsters that I really wanted, some of the gem monsters and stuff like that. So really enjoyed that one. Number two was a game that has been totally overshadowed. Twice, actually. So Horizon Forbidden West. I love this series. I don't know what it is, but I love this idea of like having these like metallic dinosaur like creatures. And what's her name? Aloy, I think it is. Yeah, it's Aloy. Just going around in this super immersive world. And it really felt like the first PlayStation 5. Well, maybe not the first, maybe the second PlayStation 5 game after Ratchet and Clank. And yeah, I loved it. And it was totally overshadowed by not Elder Scrolls. What is it called? Elden Ring. And I have never played that. I was not on my list. So no, it's not my number one. I have never played any of the Demon Souls games. So I have no idea how any of them are, but I am not one that wants to be frustrated. So yeah. So anyways, yeah, the first Horizon got totally overshadowed by The Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild, and then Forbidden West here got totally overshadowed by Elden Ring, and I'm really like half expecting Horizon 3. I know there's like a VR game type thing that they're making, but the full-fledged Horizon 3, I'm fully expecting to like get released like 3 days before, you know, like Half-Life 3. Or something like that and be totally overshadowed. It seems to be a curse with the series. And it's a bit of a shame because it was really breathtaking. And again, that atmosphere was just incredible. How it just drew you in. And they did a much better job just all around. But my number one game of the year is a game I actually just recently finished, which is God of War Ragnarok. Loved it. Absolutely loved it. To be honest, thought it was brilliant. Thought it was absolutely brilliant. And having just played God of War, like in January or February or March or somewhere around there, it was just incredible to see what a great way to end the story. I did everything, got the platinum in that game too. And just really, it's like Kratos, such a good character. And the way they brought him back with the PS4 one and now with this one, I thought just such a great evolutionary way to like wrap it up. And like I said, I didn't play Elden Ring, so I can't comment on that. I know a lot of people say like it's absolutely brilliant. Maybe one day I'll get a chance. But that's it. So those are my top 10 games of 2022. I'm very much looking forward to 2023 and seeing what we have in store for us now. All right, everyone. Well, thanks for watching, and I'll catch you all in the next video. Take care, everyone.